World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So what would be good news without bad news, right? You have to have a little bit of bad news so you appreciate the good, which is kind of what I wrote about, what I was thankful for. And we have a tendency to focus on things that kind of screw us up, right? Oh, man, that screwed up the plan. And that's just life, right? I tell everybody, keep your paddle on the water. So we had a couple guys who, praise God, took the camper down. Spencer, I don't know if you have a picture of that camper or not. Took the camper down to Swannanoa, and it broke down twice on the way down. Once we lost a belt, second one, I'm not really sure what it was. We had to have it towed. It's a beautiful camper to get people out of the cold weather, really, down there in Swannanoa. Spencer, it's the long one that's to drive it. And it's okay. If you find it, it's okay. Well, it's broke down twice on us, so. The two guys that took it down, we're not going to say who they are till they return home safely and everything like that. But God bless them. They went out of their way to do a good thing, drive down, picked it up, spent a night here, drove it down, broke. There it is. That one right there. We got it up to Jeff Klein. Jeff worked on it and got it up tip top shape, but you don't know about belts are going to break and whatever else the other issue was. All of a sudden they just lost power. So keep that in your prayers. If you even pray, that thing is just before you get on the West Virginia Turnpike down in Charleston, West Virginia. Some guy, see, it's drive it. You get in the thing, you drive it. It's a car, truck. It's good, right? And man, we got it all up and operational. And there are people down in the Swannanoa who, I checked last, it's 28 degrees in Swannanoa. People are sleeping in tents. So just keep lifting. Huh? There's never any opposition to those who are trying to do good, is there, folks? So we appreciate it. And we appreciate, again, all of you who have contributed. I don't know, folks. You guys are amazing. We've sent a lot of stuff down there. We want to get down there and get our truck and get it back up here so we can get more stuff in there. But we want that camper to get down there so some family can get the heck out of a tent. So let that be your prayer here today. Man, it's been a crazy week. And my anniversary, my birthday, yesterday our granddaughter Mia turned 8, I think. Today our daughter Maggie turned something, Mia's mother. And it's been like we've been having parties, celebrations forever, seems like. And then getting ready for Christmas. Michelle's got stuff stacked everywhere, getting ready for Christmas. And good news is that my gout's getting better. And I'm finding out my gout's getting better basically because I quit eating that stuff I'm not supposed to eat. So finally can put some weight back on, heading in the right direction. I don't want to make this about me. So I'm really a lot going on, man. A lot going on. I was thinking this morning about Pastor Bill Dunphy in jail, Cal Zastro in jail, Jimmy Zastro, Eva Zastro. I could run down a litany of people who are in jail for merely doing good. And as I was doing some research this morning, I began to ask myself, maybe you guys could ask yourself this, what makes something right? What makes something right and wrong? Hey, Spence, bring up, is that what I want to see? What makes something right and wrong? I put that somewhere, trying to find that. Is there such thing as, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights? Now, inalienable means it can't be taken away. like I'll never have black skin. I'll always be white. It's inalienable. You are born with it. Alienable means it's like you go sign a contract with somebody, and when you break the contract, they can take that away from you because you've got a contract. It's lienable. It's lienable. Inalienable or alienable. They're kind of interactive. It's easy to say the Latin word. It means other or at the root of. So inalienable means you cannot separate that person from that. Can't do it. A black will be a black, a white will be a white, an Italian will be an Italian. It's inalienable. And you guys with me? So we are granted by the Declaration of Independence inalienable rights, meaning what? Rights that cannot be taken away. One of the things that we really, really skip over, in my opinion anyway, what do they mean by rights? And what's the opposite of right? Can somebody help me out there? What's the opposite of rights?
Wrongs.
Right. Pardon me?
Wrongs.
Wrongs, isn't it? Does anybody think I'm twisting the English language? If there's an in, if there's, do you have the inalienable right to do wrong? To help, say with me now, think this through. Do you have an inalienable right to do wrong? Pardon me, without consequences. That's the whole idea of crime and punishment, right? See, you have the right to do whatever you want to. You don't have the right to do something that's against the law. There are no inalienable wrongs. You don't have the right to do wrong. Am I okay? Are you guys following me here? This is crucially important for us. And the Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? Can we have a system of justice where there is no standard of right and wrong? Somebody would say, well, abortion is a woman's right. Well, how can it be a woman's right if murder is wrong? How could she possibly have a right to do murder? And what makes something right? Are you with me here? This is critical. This is critical for where we are. Because everybody's screaming, my rights, my rights, my rights, my rights. No, they're screaming, my wrongs. My wrongs, 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 my wrongs. Who are you to prevent me from doing my wrongs, my wrongs? Because killing a baby is not doing right. Killing a baby. Now, so at the foundation of all of this is what we would call natural law. Natural law. What? Well, when they did the Declaration of Independence, they talked about the laws of nature and of nature's God. The laws of nature and of nature's God. So at the very beginning of the American experiment, they acknowledged God. Now, hang on, Creator. They didn't, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Stay with me, you'll be glad you did. So where are we granted inalienable wrongs? We hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal, and endowed by their Creator with inalienable wrongs, with a natural right to do what is wrong. And we get into the mess because we cannot and do not, excuse me, in America anymore, acknowledge the lawgiver. The lawgiver. Where did the law come from? Now, that gets us into the great debate of natural law. See if you can pull that up real quickly, Spencer. What is natural law? Law of nature and of nature's God. I thought I gave you a link there. Did I not give you a link on natural law? I'm thought, yeah, got questions. What's natural law? Hey, folks, this is critical that we understand this. Because here's what's going on in America today. There's a battle over whether or not Christianity will still hold sway in America. And say what you want to about President Trump, whether you like him or you don't like him, there is a frontal assault on the deep state. Why? Because the deep state wants to proclaim they are God. You understand it, folks? You understand it? See, if there's a separation between the church and the state, then the state becomes God. That's the conflict. We're sitting right here. We're sitting here right now today. In front of us, there's a clash of two kingdoms right in front of us right now. Who is going to be king over America? The government or Christ? That's the battle. When Thomas Jefferson wrote, "We hold these truths to be definite," he was referring to natural law. Natural law is a universal standard that directly reflects human nature. Natural law can be determined by careful consideration of the human condition, regardless of cultural issues. Jefferson considered the equality of man and life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to be directly come from the nature of humanity. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Now, when liberty becomes lawless, you don't have the right to do it anymore. Cicero believed natural law comes from God. He defined it as the safety of nations, the preservation of states, tranquility, and happiness of human life. So America was founded. See, this is, I'm going somewhere, okay? America was founded as a Christian nation, whether or not we want to. Now, people are right. Nowhere in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution does it mention Jesus Christ. It doesn't. Doesn't mention it. There could be a lot of reasons why it doesn't mention. Instead of endowed by our Creator, it leaves open who's the Creator, right? And if they were to write it today, or if they could go be here today and then go back in history, they would say endowed by our Creator Jesus Christ, or the Christian God. Are you with me? They didn't say that. Why didn't they say that? Because for the most part, they were all Christians. They were all Christians. Say, Coach, how do you know? Stay with me. How do you know that, Coach? How do you know that they were all Christians? Well, let me find it. Bring up number seven. Want to find out? Christian quotes from the founding fathers. I'm not going to run down through all these. But here, contrary to free thinkers, atheists, agnostics, and other religious, America was not founded by deists or homosexuals or transgenders. It was founded by Christian men. Scroll down, Spence, real quick. I'm trying to show you the battle we're fighting, okay? George Washington said, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life and above all the religion of Jesus Christ." Go on to the next one. Go on next. Sam Adams said, "I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins." Go on to the next one. Sam Adams. These guys are the signers. John Adams, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Hang on! Christian principles, not everyone being a Christian. You don't have to be a Christian to not kill your neighbor. You understand? But the fact that you cannot kill your neighbor applies to everyone, not just Christians. Okay? Mm. See, this is what they've confused us with. See, they want us to believe that Christian law is only for Christians. Keep going. What's John Quincy Adams? "My hope of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ, and I cannot cavil or quibble away." Boom, go to the next one. "The hope of Christian is inseparable." Back. "The hope of Christians is inseparable from his faith. Who believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth." Go on. See, these weren't deists. Thomas Jefferson, "The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend to all the happiness of men, the practice of morality being necessary for the well-being of society. He has taken care to impress its precepts so indelibly upon our hearts that they shall not be effaced by the subtleties of our brain. We all agree, I am a Christian in the only sense in which he wished anyone to be, sincerely attached to his doctrines in preference to other. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple, the doctrines of Jesus." I could go on. I'll go on. Benjamin Rush says what? "Gospel of Jesus Christ provides the wisest rules of just conduct in every situation of life." Go on down. Okay, that's enough. You get it, right? You get it. Now, look, here's where we're missing it. You don't have to play for the New York Yankees to follow the rules of baseball. Everybody who steps on the plate, three strikes and you're out. Fair balls, foul balls, how runs are scored, single, all of those rules apply whether you believe in baseball or not. If you're going to play baseball, here's the rules we play by. Same thing in basketball. 3-second rules, over and back rule, can't double dribble, right? Can't throw the ball in somebody's. The rules are there. Whether or not you like the rules, whether or not you believe in the rules, whether or not you believe in the NBA, the rules are there for everybody to have order when they play the game. Well, the same thing is true in Christianity. You do not have to be a Christian to obey the Ten Commandments. Now, hang on. Let me stop. Pull them up, Spencer. Pull up the Ten Commandments. We could say to people, look, the first four commandments have to do with your responsibilities to God. All right? No other gods before me. By the way, is government putting a god before him? No other gods before me. Don't make idols. Take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it whole. Okay, let's throw those out. But if you were a Muslim or a Buddhist or pagan or whatever you wanted to be, could you honor your father and mother? Could we teach everybody this is a rule we all follow in America? Just like over and back in basketball. You don't have to be a good player. No, you can't go over and back. You shall not murder. Can we all agree you can't murder, whether if you have any religion or don't have a religion? I can't commit adultery. Not allowed to commit adultery. No. By the way, used to be you couldn't get a divorce. Remember those days, don't you, folks? You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. And you shall not covet. Now, can anybody explain to me why any of those last six shouldn't be standard for everybody to follow? They're at the heart. They're at the heart of a civil society. A set of rules and regulations. Good? You with me? Somebody say, yeah, gotcha, coach. Just so I know I got my sounds working. Just one person. Sure. Okay, cool. So here is where they're going with us today. And you better understand it, folks. This is a war on Christianity. And Donald Trump, like him or lump him, I don't care. Are you watching how the God-hating left are going crazy by who he's putting in his cabinet? Hang on. He's put some clunkers in there, you want my opinion. But he nominated Kash Patel to be FBI director, and they are pooping their pants. Why? Because Kash Patel says we are going to reestablish justice. We're sick and tired of this double standard of justice. And we think that the Justice Department, the FBI, all of that, have come up with a new system of rules of right and wrong. Are you here? Are you with me? And so now what's right and what's wrong is what the Justice Department or the Supreme Court says it is. And so this is really ticking people off because why? They don't want it to be a Christian nation.
Amen.
And they call it Christian nationalism. You're going to start seeing the word more and more and more and more. Christian nationalist. Christian nationalist. Christian nationalist. What's a Christian nationalist? Good catch there, Spencer. Pull it up. In the exaggerated and melodrama of modern communication, Christian nationalism is most often employed as a derogatory term. Despite its occurrence in a variety of media contexts, the term Christian nationalism remains difficult to define. Those who use the term are generally the only ones who can explain what they mean by it. What they mean by it may be completely different from the meaning associated with it. Hang on. Christian nationalism. I can give you some. Huh? Go back to the second five commandments, Spencer. Here's Christian nationalism for me. You'll get them up there for you. Those commandments. Those last five, honor your father and mother, and father, honor those in authority over you. You're not allowed to murder. You can't change the definition of murder to make it okay to murder. That's what they've done, see. You shall not commit abortion. They just changed the word. Change the word, change the world, right? Christian nationalism, You can't just sleep around. You should not commit adultery. You can't do it. Not in this Christian nation. You can. You can go to Canada and do it if you want to. You can't do it here. You can't steal. You can't bear false witness against your neighbor. And you can't covet. To me, that's Christian nationalism. Now, somebody help me out here. If we forced by law, which we used to have in America, those second six commandments, who would be harmed by that? Would anybody be harmed by telling everybody they have to obey those six commandments?
Only wrongdoers.
No one would be harmed, right? And then we would punish the evildoers. But see, what they do, what the devil has been so subtle at, is he takes you shall not murder and says, well, a baby is not a person. It's not a person. And if it's not a person, it's okay to murder. You understand how they get around it, right? And this has happened because we, as good Christians, who've been taught to obey the government, as if that was the first commandment, we get to where we are and we look around and we say, something ain't right. And so a bunch of our buddies go to Washington, D.C. on January 6th and said, hey, something's wrong here. We're here to petition our government for a redress of our grievances. And the dark side gets involved and they break windows and they do all kinds of terrorist stuff. And then they blame the Christians and they lock the Christians up in jail. I got friends in jail for going there on J6. And then we have peaceful Christians like Cal Zastro and Eva Edel. And they go and said, listen, murdering babies is wrong. And they go and do what the Bible says, to lay down their lives. For their neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. And they go and lay down from them. And who comes and swats them? The government. Because we have allowed in America the government to become God. There's a shift going on, friends. There's a shift going on in America. But here's what has to happen. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I see you there, Gino. Are your teachers teaching dominionism? Can somebody help me out? Go to Matthew chapter, is it 5? Go to 5, Spence, if you could. Matthew chapter 5. Because one of the things they say goes on with Christian nationalism is dominionism, right? Now, folks, I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you serve Jesus Christ or do you serve America? Which is it? Because no man can serve two masters, right? Do you serve Jesus or do you serve America? God bless America. Okay, so, and seeing the multitudes, stay with me. Seeing the multitudes, he went up. Jesus went up there and he opened his mouth. He taught them and saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Spencer, get ready. I'm going to go quick here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after men. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yada, yada, yada. Blessed are they persecuted for righteousness. What? You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? You're going to go to jail for standing up for right? Blessed are you when men shall revile. Ask yourself, if your church you're going to teaches these. Blessed are you when men shall revile. Why would men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely? Why would they do that? By the way, it's for his sake. It's for his sake that they're saying all that, right? Why? Why would they do that? Rejoice, be gleaming sad, for great your reward in heaven. So they persecuted prophets before you. Why? You're the salt of the earth. But the salt loses savor, we're sure be salt. So if you're salt of the earth, you do, in fact, speak against evil. That's your job, to speak against evil. And when you speak against evil, particularly if the government is in control and the government is evil, they're going to throw your ass in jail. Give me a boom. All Vinny just did. They just give me a boom.
Boom.
You are the light of the world. City set on a hill can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, they let their shine light shine before men. Why? That they'll see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our job is to do and promote good works so they see our Father in heaven through us. And the church has been taught, don't get involved. Yes or no? Yes or no? And when you get involved, what's going to happen? You're going to be hated of all men. You're going to be persecuted and locked up and thrown in jail and charge you so much legal fees, you go broke. That's what they're going to do.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, now hang on. Where are the Beatitudes? Where are the Beatitudes? This isn't the Beatitudes. Jesus went up on the mountain. Beatitudes. Somebody help me out, or somebody smarter than me. I thought it was in Matthew 5.
Matthew 5.
It is. Keep on going. Keep on going. Oh, there they were. I did. Okay. So we are we are in a crucible. Spence, good word to look up. Crucible. I'm here to encourage you, not discourage you. C-R-U. Crucible. A hollow place at the bottom of a chemical. A crucible is, it's a picture of a cross. We got to turn right or left. We're in a crucible, folks. Right now in America, the American culture as we know it is at a crucible. It's the same as a crucifix. There you go, right? It's a cross. Are you going to turn left, right, or are you going to continue on the same direction? That is where we are, crucible. And so if we do not, right now, push back and destroy the Luciferian stronghold on America, which, by the way, was usurped from the kingdom of God. Hey, folks, is Jesus Christ king over America or not?
So yes.
Do we act like he is?
No.
Supreme Court is, Senate is, Congress is, judges are, right? Why? Because they've atheized, I don't even know if that's a word, they've atheized America. They told us that there was a separation between the church and state. And see, that church separation between the church and state was this. The government, stay the hell out of the church. Church, run the government. That's the separation, friends. And they've done it the exact opposite to us. So we are going to see the most unbelievable explosion and battle going on right now because the Luciferians who are in control, they sure as hell don't want, they don't want that guy. What's his name? Cash. They don't want him being Attorney General. Oh, jeezy, crimey. Are you kidding me? And if you will open your eyes and you will look around, you are going to see that the assault on, you better be sitting down. The assault on Christianity is the government against Christians. Does anybody see it other than me? Who are they throwing in jail? They're throwing Christians in jail. They're throwing Christians in jail. Why? Because the war is over who will rule America. Now, people get mad. Christians get mad because they call that dominionism. Spencer, there's a good one. Pull that up. Dominionism.
Is exactly dominion. What he gave Christians.
Say it again, Susie.
Is exactly what he gave Christians.
He told us to go make disciples of all nations, teach them to observe all life. Jesus Christ preached dominionism. Christ is king. So dominion is sovereign or supreme authority. Hey, folks, somebody help me out. Is Christ in dominion over the United States of America? Yes or no? I'm waiting.
Yes.
Is Christ, huh?
Yes.
Oh, Trump? No.
No, Christ. Is Christ in dominion over America?
Yes, he is.
Why don't we act like it? That's the battle going on.
Coach, it's all funny. They named those voting machines Dominion.
They named the voting machines Dominion. So they're now going to, I'm telling you, my friends, they're going to shift. New term coming for you. You ready? Christian nationalism. Huh? Yes, Randy. Christian nationalism is a total oxymoron. Christian nationalism. It's like, what was it you said, Randy? It's like, let me get back here. It's like Judeo-Christian. There is no such thing as Judeo-Christian. And there is, because Christian trumps Judaism. Sorry! And Christian nationalism, Christianity, trumps nationalism.
Amen.
We have been so screwed. God, we have been so misled. So Christ is king. Christ is king. And if Christ is king, then his rules rule. His rules, his laws reign. And the job of government is to punish those who violate the laws of God, not the laws of government. In Kash Patel, that's a new FBI director. Did I have the right name? I get so confused here. Kash Patel. Did you see what Kash Patel said? Kash Patel said, when I become a FBI director, we're going to go after all of those government entities that have taken the rights away from Americans. Do you understand what he just said? We're going to turn the strong arm of the Lord on those who have violated the rights of American citizens through lawfare. No wonder they're crapping their pants, huh? No wonder they're crapping their pants. Judges. Anybody out there think, anybody think evil judges ought to be punished? Anybody with me on that? Anybody think that they should get off scot-free? Anybody think Hunter Biden should get off scot-free? Anybody think that?
No.
No, no. So you know why they're upset? See, Kash Patel, you guys don't even know who he is, maybe. Kash Patel's an outsider. He's an outsider. And he says Donald Trump got elected saying he's going to clean this stuff up. And Donald Trump went down and tapped on Kash Patel's shoulder and said, dude, go get him. That's what I see. Can I tell you the other good news? I'm going to open it up. I have not even begun to get started yet. Justice is coming, fellas. Justice is coming.
Amen.
And the only way we're going to get justice is if we as the church, oh, you better hear me. This is straight from the Lord. The Lord loves justice and judgment. And most of Christianity teaches, who are you to judge? Completely opposite of what Christ himself said. Christ said, he who is spiritual judgeth all things. And the only type of justice, when they start whacking off the heads or hanging or putting in the electric chair, some of these guys who sit at the top of this Luciferian cabal, when they start chopping off their heads, do you think the other guys are going to want some mercy? Do you think others are going to say, I'm never going to go into government again to get what I can out of government? No, no, no. I'm going to go into government to serve. Government's become a big, big business. Big business. People get rich in government. Justice has to come. Let justice roll down like a mighty river. Let me play one more thing. Oh, man, I got so much more to go. There's a war, friends. The war is Christianity against non-Christianity. There is no demilitarized zone. Jesus said, are you looking at me? Come on. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. And we're in the mess we're in because Christians won't be all in for him. We serve that other king. That other one that said, no, you're looking at this guy over here. They're king. Trump's king. Government's king. No, they're king. They're king. They're king. Yeah, Mary Beth. That's not what your country can do for you. That's what you can do for your government, right? Huh? John F. Kennedy gave us that one. Oh, this is so good. So I'm telling you this to prepare you. See, they've already been doing this, locking up Christians. Oh, yeah, they've already been doing it. They're doing it everywhere. And the problem we're dealing with is the church. Don't get it? The church is playing on the other team. What do you mean, coach, playing on the other team? The church is supporting the government that's persecuting their brothers and sisters in Christ. The church is supporting them. So where does judgment begin? Somebody help me out here.
The house of the Lord.
So the mess we're in today can be directly traced to the house of the Lord. And the compromised, go along, to get along, Jesus loves everybody, gospel has put us exactly where we are. And I'm going to tell you something. Some tables are about to be flipped.
Amen.
You better pick which side you're going to be on. And if you're, Gino, come on in.
Well, we've gone a long way since I first put my hand up. But you were saying, how do we determine right from wrong? We've got away from common law, which says there has to be a victim. Only anybody who is harmed, there has been a wrong been done.
And government can't be wronged.
Well, wait a minute. We've substituted statutes instead of laws.
Yes.
We don't have laws anymore. It's all statutes to make the courts make money.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be no court held unless somebody has been harmed.
That's right. There has to be a victim. So, folks, think of
it. There's no victims anymore.
No, you missed what I said. That sounded awful. Government can't be a victim, friends. Government cannot be a victim. They're not a victim. And that's what we have right now. Everybody in J6 is in J6 because they were what? They did something against the government. It's government of the people, by the people, and we the people. Government cannot be a victim. Not in a Christian society and in a Christian culture. Why? Because the Christian government won't be violating the law. They'll be protecting the rights of the individual citizen. Oh, come on, tell me, did you see it? But see, we have it so upside down.
I see it.
And so hang on. I don't know how many. Hey, Spence, real quickly, I'll give you $5 if you find out something for me. How many government employees are there, Spence? And government's been growing and growing and growing and growing. In a day and an age where you don't even have to go to work anymore. You can sit home. Yeah. The number of employees, 2.95 million employees in the United States. The federal government owns, that's amazing, isn't it? The federal government has 3 million employees. And we got the internet. Got the internet. You don't need 10 secretaries. You don't need to get the internet. And so this is a downsizing. Jack says 342 million. This is a downsizing of the beast. And the beast is in control because why? It's so vast. It's a big octopus. And Donald Trump says, believe it or not, that they're going to come in and they're going to cut off some of the tentacles of that octopus. We're going to get rid of it. We don't need the Department of Education. We don't need the Department of Health and Human Services. They're going to start whacking off parts of the octopus. There's only one king. And whether you can recognize it or not, there is a movement going on to reestablish Christ as king. Going to take a long process because we've given them 80 years to indoctrinate the kids in public schools. Oh, by the way, did you see this? In Oklahoma, I think it is, Jesus is officially back in the curriculum. I think it was Oklahoma. Officially back in.
Yep.
Good stuff going on. Jeff Nares, come on in.
Hey, Coach, it's the creeping in of communism. And I'll give you an example. It's slowly creeping in. You know, I've been traveling to China going on 40 years and spend anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months there almost every year. And we lived there for a long, long time. And I've been through several presidents that they've had over there. And what's happened is I was there when President Xi came in. And one of the first things he did was start tearing down steeples because they have government churches there, Christian churches, Orthodox type churches called Three Self Churches. He's knocked down all the steeples and many of the churches and just demolished them. He's doing the same thing with the mosques. He also goes in to your house, not he himself, but they'll go into your house. And what's common for Christians is to have a poster of Jesus on their wall or some kind of picture. They go into your house, tear that down, and make you put up a picture of President Xi. And that's what they do. My kids... we homeschooled over there, of course, when we lived there for 6 years straight. And they were in, we put them into Chinese school to help with language up until second grade, when I went in there and they start reciting first thing in the morning that the government is our parents. We must obey our parents.
Oh, my goodness.
So that kind of ideology, that kind of thought is in there at a very, very young age, and it just creeps in. They make him the god, as you're saying, and that's what they want to bring over here.
Dude, it is here, right? It is here. And unfortunately, it's infiltrated the churches. Look, I think about that. Hey, Spencer, Google real quick. Google real quick. Steeples. Steeples. Dude, find some pictures of steeples. Fine. Go see if it just say picture that. Okay, folks. I want you to understand something. They don't even put steeples on modern churches anymore. Do you know that? Does your church have a steeple? What happened to this? Now, we can get in deep about this, about the demonic realm and those being attractions of the spirit realm. That's why they made the steeples like that. They believe it was like a rod to communicate with a 5G tower. It was a 5G tower to communicate with the spiritual world. That's why they built these with steeples. How come there's no steeples in churches? How come the churches look like malls today? Interesting. Johnny.
Yeah, so we need to be prepared to keep fighting a fight, because they are going to be kicking and screaming. I mean, they have already started, but you think we've seen them lighting towns on fire before? They are going to be kicking and screaming, and so we're on a carnival ride right now. Strap yourself in tight and keep your footing firm on the ground.
Hey, Johnny.
Just keep fighting a fight.
Johnny, don't go soft on me now. Hey, folks, don't go soft on me. We need public justice. These people need punished no matter how much they repent.
Amen.
Because why? It becomes an example to everyone else not to do that. When you get elected to public office, under the public trust, you don't do that. By the way, wow, thank you, Lord. High crime. What's a high crime? As if one sin was worse than another? Would murder be a high crime? Well, it doesn't have to do with the crime. No, it has to do with the position of the person who did it. It'd be one thing for my 6-year-old grandson to kill a dog. It'd be something else for me to do it. Because why? I'm a higher authority. And so it's high crimes that, oh, you better understand this. It's high crimes that deserve the most critical punishment. High crimes. People in high positions of authority that violate their oath, they deserve the worst punishment. Anybody? Guys, do you see
boom
that?
Boom.
And they let Hunter Biden off. Randy.
Coach, do you see the similarity in anti-Semitism and Christian nationalism?
Yep.
See, what they have to do, we know who they are. It's not anybody except Luciferian controlled, inspired people.
Randy, you either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. There ain't no militarized.
That's right. That's my point.
We got to understand that. If we don't understand that, we miss the whole thing. Go ahead.
So, coach, they have to create a word like anti-Semitism to stop you talking about a certain people, so that you can't tell the truth. They've done the same thing with Christian nationalism. They have to demonize a person who believes in dominion so that they aren't an opposition anymore. See, so they have no problem with a Christian who doesn't believe in dominionism, because they're no threat.
Randy, does the average Christian pastor believe in dominion?
No.
No, he doesn't.
No. But so, Coach, we've all come on a journey here. Look, when you realize who God's people is, when you realize what the church's real mission is, when you realize God's long-term plan of everything is, you understand dominion was Jesus' idea.
That's right.
It wasn't anything else. So when the church understands what dominion, what that means, it doesn't mean to control and to beat up people. It means to bring the gospel to the world and let it reign. That's all it means, Coach. And if any church doesn't want to endorse that, they need to check their theology. And that's the problem. So the dominion people who understand this and try to teach this, their problem. That's the ones, Bill Dunphy, people like that. They're the problem. They have to get them out of the way, you see.
Folks, listen. Let me give you a great example of Christian justice, okay? See, we're dealing with a group of people in America who maybe claim that they believe in the afterlife, maybe believe in heaven and hell, but I'm not sure that they literally believe in heaven and hell. See, Jesus demands justice. You do this, you have to pay this. That's justice, right? The church doesn't believe in that anymore. The death penalty is so honorable to God. Can I tell you why? Because the death penalty honors the person who was murdered. It honors their life. And you can commit a murder and repent and be sorry that you did it, genuinely sorry and genuinely love Jesus, and still have to die. Because it's not about this life. It's a system of rewards and punishments in the next life. And so if you murder somebody in America, found guilty, put in jail, sentenced to death, find Jesus, you still got to die. How do I know that? Because Jesus, thief on the cross, there was the picture. Two thieves on the cross. And one of them said, if you're God, get us out of this mess if you're really God. And the other guy said, I'm a scoundrel. I did this. Remember me when you come into the kingdom. What did Jesus say to this other dude over here? This day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Why? Because it ain't about this life. It's about the next life. Hang on. What's Joel Osteen preach? Oh, your best life now. That's almost anti-biblical, isn't it? Wow. Randy, is your hand still up or not?
Yeah, Coach, can I say one more
thing? Okay, sure. I didn't mean to cut. I did cut you off. I meant to.
No. I just thought of this, Coach, and I want. I think this is really critical that we understand this. When Jesus turned over the tables, this was in the, he did it twice. Once in the last week of his life, Coach, he goes in the temple, he sees what they're doing again, he makes the whip, and he just creates disorder and chaos there. Why? He's taking dominion.
Yes.
Coach, he isn't trying to ease out away from it and just let it go. He's showing the people, we're not holding up Israel here, we're holding up the kingdom of God. They are trying. They were the opposition to the kingdom of God, Coach.
Yes, sir.
And he's trying to show them, look, don't put up with this, people. You don't have to. So that is what he was walking. Jesus actually did. He showed dominion, the dominion in himself right there. It wasn't about trying to say, oh, we want a clean house so we can go in and pray. It was more than that, Coach. He was showing them, don't let anybody take over your ground, your land. It belongs to the king and his kingdom.
So, Randy, why then didn't Jesus crush the Roman Empire when he came, when Pontius Pilate? Why didn't he come and do everything? You don't have to answer. I'm going to answer for you. Because the wages of sin is death. They had all sinned. somebody had to die. And if there wasn't intervention by God and providing a perfect sacrifice, there would be no one in heaven. No one could get in because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, folks, isn't life. No. The wages, you sin, you die. The soul that sins, it shall die. But what? Jesus is life. He who has Christ lives. Do you see the picture? And can't you understand why the devil, yeah, he's real, is so intent on teaching opposition to Christian values? Don't you see it?
Even in nature, Coach, the wages of sin is death. You kill me, I kill you. You know, you kill somebody in my family, I'll kill you.
Dog eat dog. Dog eat dog. That's right. That's right. Man, oh man. Kevin.
All right. So we're on the subject of justice and consequence. It's like this. Let me try a little experiment with you. So let me throw out a name, and I want to let you run with it. I could run with it, but I think you'll give a better diatribe on this, all right? So let me throw out the name of the incoming order czar, Tom Holman. And why don't you run with that? Because I'm sure you've been paying attention to what Tom Holman has been saying and the things that he's going to implement.
So he is bringing Tom Holman. Friends, see, this is where the church doesn't get it. The church plays on the wrong team. The church says, oh, we can't, these poor people, they've come over, they want a better life. Oh, folks, they broke the law. They broke the law. We don't reward lawbreakers. We reward justice. It's not against immigration, it's against illegal immigration. When I was in kindergarten, second grade, and first grade, they called it ditching in line. People jumping up ahead of you. That is wrong. And it's happening over and over and over. And what do we say? See, we want mercy. Oh, mercy. Oh, coach, they're so hungry. They're just looking for a better life. Yeah, I know. Get in line. Quit ditching. See, the church won't uphold that standard. They won't uphold the standard of right and wrong. Because we don't once you let emotion take over. Hey friends, they probably did have a bad life. That's why they came here. I wonder if there are any people with bad lives that are standing in line doing it legally. Are you okay for line jumping, ditching? Are you okay with that? Is that a crime? Tom Holman says it's a crime. He said, we're going to clean these people out of here. Not only is it a crime.
Coach, let me add on top of that. Okay, how about the fact that he's saying, okay, mayors and governors, if you protect these people, you're breaking federal law. We're coming after you too, dude.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And going after, and this is something he came out over the weekend and said, we're going to go after the government officials, the politicians, the members of the different agencies, the NGOs. We have the receipts. We know who you are that allowed this to happen. Caused this to happen and facilitate it, and we're coming after you. Now, I'd say that that's 10 times more Christian than the position that most Christians take, wouldn't you?
Mercy follows justice. Don't go out in front of it. Ain't no mercy till there's justice. Joe Allen, come on in.
Yeah, let's make it simple. Reinforce our Constitution. Enough said.
Well, except we got judges who interpret it for us, Joe. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Chad.
Well, what happens when you go to round up these illegals and they don't want to go? What happens?
They're violating the law again, aren't they?
What happens if they decide to take up arms? What happens? What does that look like? They're not, Trump's not going to commit me. All right, all you illegals, load up on the buses. You're going back. And they go, oh, okay, no problem.
But, Chad, that's the consequence for America of permitting lawlessness. It's a consequence of it, brother. You're right, Chad. They're not going to come down to the post office and stand in line. They ain't going to do it. But wouldn't it be good If Kash Patel took the FBI and sent them after those people rather than after Bill Dunphy, wouldn't that make a little bit more sense? Rather than going after Cal Zastro, they go after these people? No. Hey, friends, the government's paying them for lawbreaking, paying them, making Bill Dunphy pay for defending the gospel. Judah.
Yeah, Coach, I just saw an interview yesterday with Cash. He was talking about what Ivan was talking about, and that is taking the FBI and actually moving them back to actually doing real legal lawfare and law
protecting the people, protecting the people.
Sheriff's departments and deputizing sheriffs across the country in all the counties. And that's the topic that's marrying up with Tom Homan is these sheriffs. And, you know, to Chad's standpoint, I understand it. But you know what? This is the point where, you know what? If they do decide to go do something stupid, you have to have enough sheriffs or enough people with authority to implement the law to not only send people back, but to send people to jail.
That's right. How about the posse coming back? Right? Who was it did reinventing government? Was that Bill Clinton? Was that Bill Clinton reinventing government 30 years ago? That sure as hell worked good, didn't it? Reinventing government. No. We're going to clean out government. I'm just telling you, friends, that's the war that's happening in front of us. And Christians better understand justice. And so they're on the right side. Mark Trump. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, well, Cash said, he said on day one, he's going to empty the Hoover Building.
Yes, amen.
And turn it into a deep state museum. Yes, he said that. That now, was hilarious.
Mark, are the Republicans going to support him?
Well, I mean, he could be facetious about it, but in reality, that like y'all were saying, the people don't need to sit in Washington. It's doing all the roles that we need.
That's right.
They need to be out in the country working.
Fentanyl guys, producing fentanyl? How about getting some of those guys, huh?
Why not put a dozen people every so many feet that's sitting in the government on the border? Why don't you move their desk down there on the border, right? Just space them out, and let's see how many workers we could put to work.
You're building a wall.
Oh, boy. See, folks, it's a reinventing of our mind, really, right? First of all, if you don't understand this, Spencer, look it up for me so they can tattoo it on their arm. The Lord loves justice and judgment. Friends, every time you hear people say Jesus loves everybody, no, you better understand this. He loves justice and judgment. Why? Because he is the face of justice and judgment. Psalm 37:23, for the Lord, where is there? King James, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his sins. That's not what I'm looking for, but that's good. The Lord loveth justice. I think it's the Lord loveth justice and judgment. I'll find it. Trust me. Psalm 37:20. How about 25 Bible verses about justice? What's the Bible say about that? Huh? 24 powerful verses. People who uphold justice, who always do what is right, are truly happy. And going down. Acting justly is a joy to the righteous, but dreaded by... Wow! There's D.C. Acting justly is a joy to the righteous, but dreaded by those who do evil. Micah 6:8. He has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you to do justice and praise. See, this is a sissy Bible. It's good, but it's a sissy Bible. Hey, do justice. Do justice. Then you can walk humbly with your Lord. What's another sissy verse I got up there? The Lord is a God of justice. Happy are those who wait for him. The Lord loves justice. He will never leave his faithful all alone. They are guarded forever. But the children, scroll down, please. But the children of the wicked are eliminated. The righteous will possess the land. They will live on forever. Psalm 89:14. Okay, so are you with me? See, they've been teaching us in church that Jesus loves us all. He just loves us all. No, he loves justice and judgment. He loves justice and mercy. Why? That he might be exalted. He is justice. He is mercy. He said, if I be lifted up, boom, I'll draw all men unto me. What? Justice and judgment and mercy.
Boom. See you tomorrow.